This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. We have with us today a great patriot who has given much of her life to military service. We are speaking with Aliyah Nadeem, and she is a lieutenant colonel in the Air National Guard after 23 years of service in the Air Force. To tell you a little bit about her, she was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. She comes from a hardworking Union family. The values of grit, faith, and family were instilled early in her life, values she carries into every mission. As a child, Aliyah was kidnapped by her father and lived under Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq, even enduring a period of captivity. That trauma taught her the preciousness of American freedom and gave her an unshakable resolve to defend it. A great patriot from Toledo, Ohio, Aliyah Nadeem. Let's talk about your Air Force career, 23 years in one type of line of work is a long time. Tell us about your service in the Air Force, Aliyah Nadeem.
Thanks, Brian. And as a good airman, I have to put my disclaimer out there that, you know, what I'm about to talk about and discuss is not reflective of the United States Air Force or Department of Defense. They are my own. And I will say, being able to serve my country has been the honor of a lifetime. It is a journey that I thought would take me, you know, maybe 4 or 6 years, right, to do my first, you know, enlistment. And 21 years later, I'm still serving, right? I got off active duty and now a reservist. And I will tell you, it's one of the greatest things I think our nation does is it brings all kinds of Americans together from all walks of life, and you have a common purpose and a common mission, and there is nothing more powerful than that.
Wonderful. What were the highlights of your Air Force career? What stands out as something special to you, Aliyah Nadeem?
You know, there's a couple moments that are really special. I think the moment for me where it all made sense is when I was deployed. So as you know, I had this terrible situation as a child. I was kidnapped to Iraq. And so I grew up in the Middle Eastern culture. I grew up speaking Arabic because I was forced to learn it. And, you know, fast forward, 9/11 happens, and I want to contribute to my country. So when I deployed, I really got to put a layer of culture, right? I got to help and explain things to U.S. forces and in the intelligence world to add a layer. Because sometimes we look at things with a Western lens. Like, we look at a problem through the American lens and not necessarily a Middle Eastern lens. So I was able to, you know, I would say maybe color the picture for people so they could really understand the culture and why certain things were happening in Iraq and Syria. So my deployment was really special because it came full circle for me, made me realize my purpose, how a child being kidnapped and then being deployed and now helping American forces was all connected. That was one of the highlights for me. One of the second highlights for me was being able to work on the Air Force's Women's Initiative team. And what we did here is we tried to make women more lethal. So for example, you know, we always didn't have body armor that fit the female physique, right? So we were working on, you know, materials and things that made us more lethal. And so I really enjoyed my work to ensure that women had the proper equipment and that we were just as ready and lethal as our counterparts.
Very good. Great hard work for our United States of America. Aliyah Nadeem from Toledo, Ohio, our guest today on the Rusk Report. Now, the other half of you is Polish, and you were in Poland, and I'd like to catch some of your fondest experiences traveling to your homeland of Poland, and I imagine you have a good-sized population of Polish descent where you live in Toledo, Ohio, because I've met leaders of the Polish-American Congress from Toledo at national meetings. So let's talk about your experience in Poland, your love of Poland, Aliyah Nadim.
Yes, with the name Aliyah Nadim, Polish descent doesn't come to your mind, right, when you first hear that. But my mother's side is actually the Jankowski side. So my mother has the Polish side, and then my father's side has the Iraqi side. So only in America can you have that, right? And my great grandparents actually, their parents came. They actually left Poland and went to France, and then ended up coming over to the United States. So I actually, as a child, spent quite a bit of time with the Jankowskis. And for the most part, you know, as a child, I was with them a lot. And so we got a lot of the traditions, of cabbage, you know, apple pie, you know, apple bread or apple cake. And so I had all these traditions of these Polish traditions that came from the Jankowski side. And so I didn't really fully understand where my grandparents had come from, right? I just knew them that they were in the United States. So I had the opportunity, I saw a photo of my grandparents, and it was this black and white photo. And I had asked, where is this photo from? Where? And they said, oh, this is when we were in Poland. And as an adult, I got to go to Poland. I went to Warsaw, and I took that picture around Warsaw. And I said, where was this picture taken? And it was taken at a theater in Warsaw. It's the big building, as you know, that was built by the Russians.
The wedding cake building.
The wedding cake building, and that's where it was. And so they helped me find out where it was, and it's still standing. So I angled myself and took a picture in the exact same spot that my grandparents did. Almost what, I don't know, let's say 80 years ago. And I've showed it to you, the picture of where I'm standing, where my grandparents were. But the one thing that I thought was really funny is when people look at me, cause you know, I have more of the Middle Eastern side, they always question that are you Polish? I said, yeah, I'm a Jankowski. I look more Middle Eastern, but I have a lot of love, for Poland, because my grandparents came there. You know, they had to leave for various reasons. And I'm grateful because they came here. Here I am today speaking with you.
Well, it's our pleasure. And Aliyah Nadim's forefathers have a famous name, Jankowski, because that was the name of Lech Wałęsa's priest who guided him through the Solidarity era to bring democracy to Poland. And he was a great man, probably distantly related to Aliyah Nadim, our guest today on the Rusk Report. And it's funny about that gift from Stalin, that building, because the Polish people always tell me when I go to Poland, and I've been there about 20 times, that that's the best view of Warsaw because they resented the Russians. So they said, when you're in the building, you can't see the building, and you look out, you have a wonderful view, because they detested that symbol of Stalinism and Russian domination for 44 years. For those who've just tuned into the Rusk Report, our guest today is Aliyah Nadim, a lieutenant colonel in the Air National Guard with 23 years experience with the Air Force. She's from Toledo, Ohio, a tremendous military and civic leader. If you're listening in Toledo, South Buffalo, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bed AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And this station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand with our 50,000 watts of clear channel power. So drop us a note. Speaking of Poland, on a cool autumn night, there's nothing better than sitting in a warm home with some good reading material. Now is a great time to get reacquainted with your heritage by reading the Ampol Legal. news, historic, and cultural features from the Polish-American perspective can be delivered to your door each week for just 75 cents. The AmPol Legal newspaper is the way to keep up on the news in Poland and Polonia. With special features in the editions before the holidays, get a subscription or send one to a friend. Call 716-835-9454 or order online at ampollegal.com. Just click the subscribe tab at the top of the homepage. That's ampollegal.com or call 716-835-9454. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, Maurice Nalon, top financial advisor, Todd Blair and Rob and Hank, who are tremendous performers in Muskoka, Ontario. Coming up, we're going to have David Black about identification for those voting. Also, we're going to have Rick Platt with economic development in Ohio and the Canadian Racing Boat Hall of Fame. We're going to have a program on that coming up. Also, a little bit more information about Aliyah Nadeem of Toledo, Ohio. When terrorists attacked on September 11th, Aliyah Nadeem was called to service to defend the country that brought her home and gave her a second chance. She walked into a recruiting office and enlisted in the United States Air Force, beginning a life of distinguished service, 23 years of devoted service with the United States Air Force. Now, there's been a lot of controversy recently, not about you, but about certain members of Congress who are basically in an ad telling people that if they feel that an order in the military is illegal, to disobey. And there's a lot of controversy because in the military, there's a chain of command. And if people don't follow the chain of command, how are you going to fight a war? So let's talk about this controversy. And is this something that should not have been done? Aliyah Nadeem.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Let me just say this. As a military member, you get exhausted with the politics. You know, we are professionals who want to do our job and defend the nation. And when somebody comes out and this particular, you know, senator is saying disobey illegal orders, it's unnecessary, right? It's political in nature. And we have protocols in place. If, for example, if someone says go shoot, you know, civilians in a village, we know that is an unlawful order. It's clear as day, right? But that's just not how the military operates. So going around saying, you know, disobey illegal orders is just fanning the flames and further pulling the military into this. And so I think it's distasteful. I don't think it's a place we need to go as a nation to drag our military into this because you don't like what's happening politically.
So basically, you're saying the military should be above politics and just to protect our nation, period, and not in any way touch on political goals.
Yes, absolutely. And let's be honest, though. A lot of the things that the military is asked to do, right, when we invaded Afghanistan, right, it's all political in nature. But what the way that they're going about this is they're saying disobey orders. Well, can you be specific? What I'd really like for those particular senators is, can you be specific what orders have been illegal? And there is no illegal order.
Yes, they had none. Slotkin was on, I think, on ABC News nationally, and she was asked by Martha Raddatz what illegal order has been given, and she couldn't think of any.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is none. So why come out and make this statement when there is none? You're just fanning the flames on the politics by bringing the military into this. And we have got to stop doing this. Military members are exhausted and tired. And frankly, I think it's disrespectful to military members to do that, to put them in that juxtaposition.
Yeah, you don't want to have doubt when there's people's lives in front of you. You don't want to have doubt on an order because you have to, I'm sure in the military, you have to act within seconds and you can't be hesitating and questioning and doubting your superior.
Absolutely not. That's why we have a chain of command. That's why we go through the process of everything from basic training. Everyone has their role. Everyone has their place, right? And we surely don't need senators telling us what an illegal order is. We know what those protocols are. And there's methods to address that. If you think you're having an illegal order or an ethical dilemma, there's processes to go about that. And people use that every single day if they think something is wrong. You can absolutely do that. So we don't need people going on the news and publicizing this. And you can't even give an example. I think that's what really frustrates me, is there's no example of illegal orders.
Well, shouldn't there be a separation of duties between the politicians and what they do in Washington and the military leaders from the Pentagon, what they're doing? Shouldn't there be some type of barrier to keep politics out of the military?
Well, I mean, I laugh because there should be, but there's not. I mean, congressionally, Congress does have oversight of the Department of Defense. Right. So they can legislate. Right. They can put their put what legislation they want to have policy. But it's not their job to go and do these short videos about illegal orders. Go talk to the Secretary of War. There's processes in place that you can do this behind closed doors and have a conversation without bringing this publicly. Right. So think about if you're a junior military member and you see this. What are you thinking? You're going, what's going on? Am I getting an illegal order? And then you're putting a burden on the military system to have to go over this and explain this and say, no, you're not getting an illegal order. So Congress does have a role in oversight, but what they're going about right now is not an oversight. It's purely politics.
Sounds like it's spreading a lot of confusion in the military to have these messages coming out.
Confusion, distaste for political leaders, and it erodes the system. It further erodes the political system. We're supposed to think in high regard of our senators and our politicians, and this is what we're left with.
Yeah, it sounds like it's debasing the military, a lack of respect. As you have said, you have protocol already in order, and you don't need outside messages that confuse and distort things.
Especially, Brian, without an example. I'll go back to that, right? Usually people comment on a specific example, right? If you're going to come out and say that, you want to tie it to something. They're just making these big, grandiose statements. And then I think that's what's really confusing.
Well, I think then they later say, well, the blasts on these boats outside of Venezuela are illegal. Well, we're losing probably 100,000 to 150,000 young people a year with these drugs being brought in from that region. And that's a terrible ordeal for these families to deal with the loss of their children with illegal drugs. And they're coming in mostly by those boats. So I would think that is a part of national security to stop this drug trade killing our young people.
Bingo, Brian. So let me talk to you about Ohio.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about the drug epidemic here.
Yes, I'd like to hear about that because we blanket Ohio.
Yeah, so Ohio has a really terrible statistic. We are seventh in the nation of overdoses. Seventh. But if you peel that back even more, 80 to 90% of the overdoses are related to fentanyl. Let me just say that again. 80 to 90% are related to fentanyl. Well, how does fentanyl get into the United States? Well, a lot of the precursors, the ingredients come from China. Then they go to Mexico. It's made there and comes to our border. So I don't understand how we have fought wars in the Middle East to protect against, terrorism coming to our shores, but we're not protecting drugs that have killed more people in the United States than terrorism ever has. And I hate to bring up this example, but here's a good example. 9/11. How many people passed?
3,000.
Fentanyl has... Yeah. Yes, exactly. Fentanyl has killed more than that in the United States alone.
100 times more, yeah.
Exactly. It's not even close. So we need to protect our borders. So when people keep saying these are illegal orders to, you know, kill people who are bringing, that they're targeting these boats, how? Somebody explain to me how. What is the difference between that and fighting terrorism? I think it's because it's closer to our shores. We've never done something like that. You can debate how we're going about it. I do know one thing that has come about is people are saying, you know, it's not the best use of our resources to target them, you know, via a missile. Sure, we can argue that. But the point is we have to protect the United States of America and our people. And I just told you, Ohio is seventh in overdoses due to fentanyl. Enough is enough.
Yes, my heart goes out to those families when I hear mothers and fathers and grandparents crying about the loss of their children from fentanyl. It's a horrible death for young people, denying them a future. So, well said. Aliyah Nadeem, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air National Guard, and who has given us 23 years of dedicated service to the United States Air Force. If you're listening in Ohio, Montreal, or Northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And again, Aliyah Nadeem is now a Lieutenant Colonel in the National Guard. She has led missions across the globe and advised at the Pentagon and National Security Council. Aliyah Nadeem understands how Washington works and how it fails hardworking Americans. As a former military congressional fellow and U.S. Senate liaison, Aliyah Nadeem saw firsthand how career politicians have lost touch. So our guest today is from Toledo, Ohio, Aliyah Nadeem on the Rusk Report on the Bet, AM 1520. Is it tougher for women to perform in the military? How is it, and how has it changed in the last 23 years? Aliyah Nadeem.
That's a really good question. I don't know if I would say it's tougher. I think there's some things that are challenging. How about that? And what I mean by that is really where I found some of the challenges were in equipment, right? So listen, I have rose to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. So clearly something's going right, right? I would say it's my merit. It's merit-based, right? But I will tell you, along my career, there's been policies that I did not think really furthered our lethality, right? And that's when I talk about equipment, when I talk about some of, even something as simple as our hair policies, right? So one thing that I'm really proud that we did is we fought for uniforms. You know, I'll tell you something. What's really interesting, you know, back in World War II, when Congress is debating whether they're going to allow women to serve, and Congress comes to the conclusion of we need every able-bodied American to fight because we have to win. And that's when we allow women to serve, because we knew everybody has to be involved in this. And so what happened out of that is at first, you know, for example, if you got married, you got kicked out of the military. This is back in, like, you know, the 40s, right? You couldn't be married and you couldn't have a child. Well, clearly that's all changed. You know, you can get married in the military as a woman, you can have a child, but we hadn't updated some of our policies. So for example, sometimes females didn't have a flight suit, a pregnancy flight suit, because nobody thought about it. Nobody thought there's going to be, you know, a pilot that's pregnant, right? Because we weren't even allowed to be married. So we worked on stuff like that to ensure that members had some dignity. They weren't just wearing an oversized, you know, flight suit. We, you know, we did that. And so that's been really special to me, to be able to work on those type of projects. So that's where I think that we could do better for our service members and ensuring they have the proper biological equipment for our bodies. I think that's extremely important.
Very good. We have about 2 minutes left on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. I mentioned in the introduction about your horrible kidnapping by your father into Iraq under Saddam Hussein. I don't mean to bring up a difficult topic for you to talk about, but could you now look back upon those 3 years of being kidnapped?
Brian, thanks for your sensitivity on that situation. You know, it's hard to explain this, but I was kidnapped, taken away, and I will tell you that kidnapping and being away for almost 4 years made me appreciate America and our freedoms more than anything in the world. So as challenging as it was to live in that life as a child, I appreciate America so much more. There is no greater country. Let me just tell your audience, if you think it is so bad in America, go somewhere else for a day. We have I know we have our problems, right? I know we have our problems. I know we have our challenges. But having lived somewhere else, I can tell you there is no greater country. And this country rescued me. I was an 11-year-old child, a nobody. And this country put resources and dedication, along with my mother, to help me get back. And I'm talking to you today because this country came and helped me and saved me and gave me a whole opportunity. And I got to serve in the military. I've gotten to do things. You think as a woman in Iraq, I would have been able to do these things? No. So that experience forever changed my life, and every day I'm grateful that I'm here. So every day has to count for me.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned about the heroism and dignity of Aliyah Nedim, 23-year Air Force veteran, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air National Guard, very courageous, smart lady from Toledo, Ohio. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the last 20 years. Thank you for enlightening us about the value of America, Aliyah Nedim. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.